NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that you can stay close to your team even if you don't live in their town. Like, maybe you're a Raven who married a Seahawk who got a job in the land of the Falcons. With NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch your team's out-of-market Sunday afternoon games no matter where you live, because you shouldn't have to change teams even if you change towns. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto renews.
This is the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Hockey is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. It's you, the diehard supportive fans, your favorite players who are on the team you cheer for and the organization who supports them.
The companies that make your gear, bags, and beer league sweaters, the hockey moms and hockey dads, and everything else that makes this House of Hockey your home. Come on in. I'm Breezy.
And I'm Ray Ray.
And this is our house. All right, you've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. All you got to do is add your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid over $7 billion to users across all sports, and DraftKings is still the leader in daily fantasy sports. There's no better way to get in on all of the action. So now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for all the deets.
And on that note, welcome to the House of Hockey podcast. This is episode 71. And yes, this is one of your hosts, Ray Ray, though I sound like I'm talking underwater. It is not intentional. I have a cold. I think just, you know, like, remember when we used to just have old-fashioned colds? I'm pretty sure that's what's happening here. So
hey, you know what? An old-fashioned cold is good for the soul. I'm just gonna go ahead and say that.
I highly disagree. I don't do colds well. I'm very impatient, and I'm like, I have 100 things to do. I have to talk on a podcast, and I sound like an asshole. Anyway,
you sound fine. You sound great. I mean, I'd rather have a cold than any other sickness, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah. Introduce yourself though.
Oh, I'm Breezy. I'm your other host. That was awkward.
I hate introducing, like, and that's Breezy. Like, I hate when people do that on shows that, like,
yeah,
kind of, it get like, makes me feel yucky. But yeah, it's been an adventure, and I will have to tell you about that in a little bit. But this episode is all about the Sellies Championship. Sellies, both of the ECHL Kelly Cup winning team. We're not talking to the whole team, but we're talking to a member of their team, Sean Sidlowski, who plays for the Fort Wayne Comets. So stay tuned. We're going to talk to him real quick to get an update. He was on episode, I believe, 48. We did a full in-depth interview with him about his career and everything. So go back and listen to that when you're done with this episode. And then tell everybody else who we're going to hear from, Breezy.
Yeah, we are also having Greg Wolf, who is the in-arena host for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He was at all of the celebrations for the Tampa Bay, obviously, championship that they just won. He's popping in to give us the lowdown of what happened on the game day and when they won the cup and all of their celebrations, the boat parade, the whole nine yards. So stay tuned for Greg. He'll be popping in as well. This is our first like dual guest from different teams popping in, I guess.
Yeah. And they're both, you know, part of championship winning teams. We got the Kelly Cup, the Stanley Cup champions, and Sean is here live. I'm going to bring him in. We're going to roll him in hot live. Is that the champion?
That would be him.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We're just rolling. We just did our little pre-episode, so we're live. We're recording right now.
All right, good deal.
First of all, congrats. Thanks for coming on. We want to hear all about it.
Well, I appreciate it. Obviously, a lot of stuff to, or I guess a lot of stuff I could potentially start with, but you know, it was just an awesome way to end a bad year is basically what I've been telling everyone.
Definitely, definitely. How was your season when it, I guess take us on a little like joy ride through your season to get to obviously the championship.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it was pretty wild one. Obviously COVID played a huge role in it for the majority of the season, probably, you know, 90% of the season. It was really, all about the testing and, you know, craziness with the travel and just not being able to do too much. But, you know, fortunately near the end of the season, we ended up getting past our vaccination rate and, you know, we're allowed to do a little bit more, take the mask off kind of a little bit while we were together in the locker room, stuff like that. So, you know, we had some struggles to deal with, but I mean, I guess that's the way I'd look at it is we were dealing with adversity all year and, you know, it was tough for anything to faze us by the end of it. So, you know, we just had a great group of guys. Honestly, it was definitely the best team, you know, I've ever played on, and just character wise, leadership wise, you know, haven't seen a group of guys play for each other like that, in my career yet. So, you know, hence the results, I guess.
Yeah. Take us to the win. I want to hear about the win. You won the Cali Cup. That's so exciting. Like take us to the moment, like the 10 second countdown on the clock, like what's going through your head or even a minute before or wherever we need to go.
I mean, cause it was a close game at that point, you know, it was only 2-1. So we were just trying to hold on, not get into overtime, obviously something like that. So for the last minute of the game, you know, I was on the bench and, you know, me and, Anthony Petrozelli were standing next to each other and it was kind of hard to contain, you know, our emotion because it was, you know, slowly counting down. I think there were probably 3 or 4 whistles in the last minute. And it got all the way down to like, you know, 1.9 seconds with a face off, of course, in our zone and stuff like that. So we weren't really allowed to let it out until the last second and a half, once we kind of won that face off and knew it was over. And obviously the celebration ensued, but I will say the last minute on the bench, you know, I was hoping we were going to win, of course. So I was kind of looking around and trying to soak it all in. And obviously in that arena with it being sold out for the two final games, it was just an awesome kind of image to always remember.
That is insane. I just got like chills of you describing that whole thing.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
You have such parallels to what is happening, what happened with the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, they, well, some things, but they won at home. You won at home in front of the fans after a season with like no fans. How was that? Like the sound of the fans, like, did you take a look up and see like the faces of the fans?
Yeah. I mean, I think just me being there for 8 years, you know, I was probably soaking it in more than most guys are at least trying to, and especially being my first one. So I just wanted to, you know, try and just, like I said, soak it all in and remember it. And, you know, the noise was definitely a major contributor to our, you know, momentum during the games and the celebration, of course. But, you know, I told our goalie, Dylan Ferguson, there's one in the final game, there's one sequence of saves he made in the second period to keep it, you know, keep us up by one goal. And he made, I think, 2 or 3 saves in a matter of a couple seconds. And I told him after we won, I go, that's the loudest by far I've ever heard this rink. Like it was actually, you know, you hear people say, oh, it was deafening. Well, that's literally what it was. I couldn't hear myself talk to the guy next to me and it was crazy. So, you know, to have the final 2 games, you know, be back to full capacity was a huge thing for us. And thankfully it ended up being very special.
Okay, wait, sure. Who is the first player you hugged or the player that you were most happy to celebrate with? Obviously the whole team, but like, yeah. Was there one in particular that you were like, you know, you had that like special moment with? And then who did you FaceTime or call as soon as you got your phone or text?
Yeah, I think I didn't really necessarily, I think I hugged more than a few guys initially because I just went, jumped right in the pile, of course, and then ended up on the bottom. I think I was on top of Ferguson for about a minute before everyone kind of finally backed up. So we were on the bottom there. Me and him got pretty close and enjoyed that together. But, you know, I think there's a couple guys, you know, I've known AJ Jenks for a while. So when we finally got to each other, you know, that was pretty cool. You know, we're both from Michigan, grew up playing roller hockey together and stuff. And, you know, neither of us have won a championship. So that was pretty cool. And, you know, probably the best moment of that celebration was, you know, him being the captain, getting the cup first, you know, handing it to me. So that was just a pretty cool experience in its own right. So, you know, I definitely shared some with multiple guys, but, you know, as far as when I got my phone, I was more or less trying to, you know, I took videos, of course, of the crowd and just the atmosphere. But I had a couple buddies back home that, you know, I had no idea were watching the game that ended up FaceTiming me while we were in the locker room and stuff like that. So they're basically the only ones that I was on my phone with because I wanted to enjoy the moment once we got in the locker room and stuff like that. So it ended up being a fun night, needless to say.
For sure. Any fun locker room stories you can share with us?
What's the beverage of choice? Like, what's happening? Are you wearing goggles? Like, paint the picture.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they made sure they plastered off our whole room so we didn't ruin it because the room's pretty new. But, you know, of course, there was a champagne and then a cooler full of Bud Lights, Coors Lights, stuff like that. And, yeah, of course, we were spraying it all over the place. And especially when the cup came in, everyone was drinking out of it. And probably the coolest part, though, about, you know, it's not even a crazy locker room story. It's just about the culture in Fort Wayne, that how many previous players who've ended up, you know, making their home in Fort Wayne and stuff like that. A lot of them were at the games, you know, even back to guys who played in the 60s, 70s. And, you know, a lot of them came in the locker room afterwards and they were enjoying the celebration and stuff like that too. So that was pretty cool to see. And then we ended up moving from the locker room down to kind of a little bit of a family room, I guess you'd say, where all the friends and family came in, and there's of course more drinks and more champagne flying all over the place. So it was a pretty cool night just to be able to do it all together in the rink, not have to go anywhere and stuff like that. And, you know, we enjoyed it as a team the rest of the weekend too.
That's all you can do. Did you end up celebrating at home with family and friends as well?
We haven't gotten to that yet, but you know, we're hoping, you know, we don't know how it's going to work with, obviously, COVID slowing everything down, and if the cup's going to, you know, make it around how many guys just yet. But fortunately, I'm close enough to Fort Wayne that I plan on, you know, if I have to drive down and get it myself, I'll probably do that and hopefully spend a weekend with it, and we'll do something as a family, you know, because there's a bunch of hockey guys around here and stuff like that, and a lot of support I get from friends and family in the area too, which will be nice to celebrate with them. So we'll definitely do that.
Yeah, where, no better person to have in your front seat with you, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Always wearing a seatbelt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you guys as a team take the cup around locally?
Probably the best one was, I mean, we did more than a few, but the best one was probably we took it to the Fort Wayne Tin Caps game. They're a minor league team for the Padres. They're in the Padres system, and we ended up taking that downtown there to one of the games. That was actually July 3rd, so right before July 4th, and they had their fireworks and everything, of course, but, you know, just walking it in there, you know, we got to go on the field with it before the game, which was cool, but just walking around the game, it was sold out, and, you know, how many fans asked to stop and, you know, take pictures with it and stuff like that just to see it. And, you know, I think we probably walked around for probably six innings worth in the game with the cup. So that shows you how many people actually cared to want to take a picture with it and stuff like that. So it was actually very cool to be out in the community and, you know, celebrate it with everyone, because of course they're passionate for the Comets. So it was a very special ending to it.
That's crazy. Well, congratulations again. That is that's awesome. We were super excited to have you come on. We were like, we got to get him on to talk about it.
Yeah. We're like, yeah, we got it here. We need an update.
Yeah, no, of course. Everyone's been wanting to know all the crazy stories, but, you know, I'm sure a few will come out at a later time, but, you know, All I can say is that the Kelly Cup had some fun too. Her and Stanley are in the same family, that's for sure.
That's great. And since we last talked, you got a dog, right?
Yes, that was probably after we talked, yes.
Okay, so when you came home, 48 hours of no sleep, of partying with the cup and winning, what did you tell your dog? Like,
I had to convince her it was me at first. And yeah, I told her she could address me as champ from here on out. But that was the funniest part, because I, you know, I probably had her for about a month and a half once I got her. But then we were going on the road at the end of the season, like out to Utah and just on a couple trips. And then we didn't know where we were playing in playoffs yet. So I just knew we weren't going to be home very much. And fortunately, family lives close enough that I could bring her home. And I brought her back to my mom's house, and my mom was looking after her. And right when I got back, I came in the back gate, and of course expected her to jump all over me and stuff like that. But she backing away and barking at me. Didn't know who I was for probably about 20 seconds, but the second she got a little closer, then it was full attack mode, and she's been, you know, attached to the hip again since. So it's going good.
That's all you can hope for.
Dogs are, get her a blinged out collar or something.
Yeah. You might have to give her the middle name of Kelly or something.
Yeah. There you go.
Return to Kelly Cup Champions 2021 on our call.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I'm so glad you got a season, first of all, the whole league, of course, and then to win it. And this is the first win for the franchise, right?
In the ECHL it is, yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So what were the owners and everybody like, just ecstatic? Like you're going to have a banner, like even next season is going to be just insane when you start.
Yeah, no, of course. And those, it's funny because I think this would make the seventh championship since the Franckis bought the team back in the 70s, I believe, and or 80s, I forget when, but it was funny before our first game at home in the finals, Dave Franke, who's, you know, our most involved GM as far as coming in the locker room and, you know, the players and stuff like that. And he walked in the locker room and had a little pregame speech after morning skate. And I told guys I knew he was going to do it too, because he loves to show them. But he came in and had all six rings on his hands. I told guys, I go, he's going to Tom Brady us. Just watch. And no one really knew what that meant. But the second it came in, I was looking around and I got about, But he came in walking around with all six rings on and showed it to everybody, walked through all the stalls, showed it to everybody. So he'll be very happy to have a seventh, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah. What are those pictures behind you? Are those you?
Yeah, I'm actually, I'm back in Michigan visiting family. So this is my mom's wall of Sean.
So
not going to get any closer because a couple of those pictures aren't too flattering.
I don't think anybody's like middle school, high school years are all that flattering. Anyway.
No, she did. Actually, this one right here, right above me, she did let me wear this shirt in sixth grade, but she made sure to crop it out in the frame. But it was a golf shirt that said, when I die, make sure to bury my balls next to my bag. I actually couldn't believe she let me wear that. Sixth grade. So
you got a good mom.
Yeah, she lets me get away with probably a little bit more than I should.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Well, congrats to the team. Yeah. We hope you get a day with the cup and get to bring it around to family and friends and people you've, you know, spent your career with. So congrats, yeah. Sean.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me. And obviously hope you guys enjoy the rest of your summer too. Short off season at least, so won't be off work for long.
Special thanks to Sean for taking some time out to chat with us again and tell us about winning. So thank you, Sean.
Yeah.
And congrats to all the boys on the Comets. And hopefully we'll get some off the record stories from him in some time.
Yeah. I can't wait to see a picture with him with a cup and maybe a ring on his finger here in the near future. We'll have to keep an eye out and repost that for him.
Exactly. And speaking of champions, let's roll right into hearing from our other friend of the podcast, Greg Wolf, the Tampa Bay Lightning's in-arena host. Okay, I'm going to try to play this. So I asked I asked Greg to send us an audio file and just like give us all the details, and I did not listen to it.
Neither one of us have listened to it, and the reason why we had him do an audio file was because you can imagine his schedule is jam-packed, so he was just gonna, you know, give us a quick little rundown of everything that was happening in between his crazy schedule. So we decided to save the recording for our live reactions here.
What is going on, House of Hockey Podcast? It is your buddy Greg Wolf checking in from Tampa, Florida. And if I sound a little nasally today, it's because there was quite a spectacle yesterday here in Tampa, Florida, with our champions celebration for our back-to-back Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup champions. And what was an epic boat parade turned into an absolute shit show. Hope I'm allowed to say that, because that's exactly what it was, as a vicious thunderstorm rolled through our celebration in the park, which is only ironic because it was thundering and lightning. Not too much lightning, but a lot of thunder, a lot of wind, a lot of rain. Completely destroyed our set on the stage. But in true, awesome hockey player fashion, our drunken squad of misfits took to the stage, brought the cup with them, Mr. Vinnick, the whole nine. They were doing belly slides on the stage in the pouring down rain, just complete pandemonium, you know, spraying beer on everybody. And our fans absolutely loved every minute of it. Did not matter if it was an absolute hurricane in the park. They enjoyed every single waking minute of it. And it was nerve-wracking for us, obviously trying to put on a show. And a hurricane blows through the middle of it and blows all the podiums down. The staging was getting wrecked. I mean, it was just, it was crazy. But again, I think it's a little ironic that it thundered and lightninged all the way through our ceremony, and basically they had to cut it short. So I'm a little under the weather today, but again, every single moment of this run was worth every second of this feeling today. What a remarkable run from our boys when people thought that we weren't going to necessarily get past Carolina or get past Florida or get past the Islanders. But we did that and absolutely made a mockery of Montreal Canadiens. And Kucherov, again, with the postgame presser, number one bullshit about Vazzy and how the league and the voters treated him with no Vezina. Again, this year, last year, I mean, come on, doesn't matter at the end of the day. We've got back-to-back Stanley Cups. So that's, you know, all I really got for you guys. I mean, again, the run was amazing. Our fans were amazing. The celebrities that we had with us this season to fire us up. I made a post on my socials. You guys can see just a screenshot of the many celebrities we had, from John Travolta, Bret Michaels, a lot of the Buccaneers. I don't know. There was just too many to name. But it was just a really, really remarkable season. And I'm so thankful to have been a part of another one back to back. And can't wait to go for the three-peat next season, which, believe it or not, for us starts in just a few weeks. I mean, literally, September is preseason, so we're not that far away. So I look forward to catching up with you guys again soon. I appreciate you guys having me on this season. And nothing else to really say, but go Bolts!
How perfect was that?
That was awesome. Insane. Well, they didn't need the lightning during their thunderstorm, because they obviously brought the lightning in true passion. So, ba-ding-ding. But a super awesome to hear from Greg. We appreciate the update from the next day, because he obviously was a little preoccupied with the change in the weather.
Yeah, and really busy, you know, hosting and doing his job. So thank you so much for taking the time to just shoot us a message and report back to all of you listeners what is going on and what the experience was like. I mean, I can only imagine he's still processing, you know, the whole thing, just like Sean. Yeah. It's like, that takes days to process that kind of emotion and feeling and excitement. And, you know, Greg's getting a second ring. He just got his first ring. Like, how exciting for him.
That is super exciting. And speaking of emotions, while I was listening to Greg talk, I just got a notification on my phone. Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators was just traded to the Philadelphia Flyers for Nolan Patrick.
Yeah.
It's a little crazy.
How do you feel about that? Your Preds are being pulled apart, just like my Blackhawks.
I know. You know, Ellis, he's a great player. He brought a lot to the team. I think it was needed though. Unfortunately, bringing Nolan Patrick in is going to be huge. But again, I just read this. It just came on my phone in the last like 45 seconds, so I'm still processing myself. I don't even know what to think. Nolan Patrick's a great player. This is crazy.
And then Pekka Rinne retired.
Pekka, yeah, Pekka
15
retired.
seasons. What a career.
What a career. But you know what I gotta say, you can kind of smell it coming. UC Saros has done a phenomenal job. He basically was the number one goalie this past season. Pekka kind of, went out in his last game. He had a shutout. He was able to salute the fans. He was a free agent after, this year. And so I think he made the right decision for himself and for his body. Although he did a little interview, I don't know where it was, the Players Tribune, what is that thing called?
Yeah,
Whatever that
Players
thing's called.
Tribune.
Yes. And he said that he thinks he has a little bit more gas in the tank, but he was injured, quite a bit. I want to say it was back in like 2014 or 15. I didn't he have like a hip infection or something,
Sounds
which,
familiar. Yeah.
yeah, I'm pretty sure that was back, it was a few years ago, but I think Pekka's done a great job for the community and for the team and for the city of Nashville, but super sad to see him go. He had a great run. I wish he could have gotten a cup, but on the bright side, he is going to stay in Nashville. He's going to continue his community work, and he's going to be in the building often. So that's all you can hope for. He's a legend on the ice for the Preds, and he's going to be even more of a legend off the ice for the Preds. So congrats to him on his retirement.
You think future Hall of Famer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was even thinking maybe potentially could work for the Preds, whether it was a future goalie coach, or even maybe up there in the coaching staff. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. He's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer though, and he's definitely going to get his number up in the rafters. That's for sure.
Speaking of numbers up in the rafters and future Hall of Famers, Duncan Keith, as we talked about last week, it's official. He got traded to the Edmonton Oilers for Caleb Jones and a conditional third round pick for 2022. It happened. I mean, like I said, I processed this that like our team is winding down. The veterans are like, there are no veterans left, just Kane and Taze. And I don't think you could call them veterans yet. But I'm glad we got a defenseman. We need a defenseman. So I'm excited that at least they made a trade in that respect because, without Keith, that defense is just in shambles. Our leadership is, as we've got some challenging leadership and lack of coaching ability, in my opinion, on the Blackhawks, but I hope Keith is happy there. He said that he went to be closer to his son, and I don't know. I mean, of course, people are saying, "Oh, he's so old," da 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 da. But Keith has he is a machine, and he is in such great physical shape that he could play for another couple of years because he takes his health and his physical body so seriously to make it performing machine. So wish him all the best. And then Breezy, before we started, sent me this creepy, hilarious photo of McKeith. What did you call it?
They're saying it's the true McJesus,
It's
and
Duncan Keith and
Connor
Connor McDavid's
McDavid's
face together with the hair. It's
and the
kind of
beard.
creepy, but it really does look like Jesus.
It does,
So
it does. I do have one comment to make though.
what?
If Caleb Jones is even a half of what his brother is, the Blackhawks are in great shape. Got the same bloodline as Seth Jones, obviously. I think it was a good pickup for the Blackhawks. Sorry, I can't talk today.
Okay.
I mean, you got a young, group of guys coming up,
Yeah.
being led by Taze and Kane. So I think it was a good pickup.
Yeah, it was.
And it's still young. I mean, there's still a lot of players to be moving here in the next couple weeks. So I think the Blackhawks are making pretty good moves.
Yeah, I think it was a good move. I feel like I have to sneeze. This isn't going to be pretty. No, almost.
You had like a traditional cheese.
Stuck. There was rumors that Seth Jones will also become a Blackhawk as well. So that would be super cool to have the brothers. I think that could bring some good team energy that the team needs, but
yeah,
we'll see about that. I don't know what his contract is, and I didn't do any research to like verify that claim, but
yeah. You know. They were also saying that Ryan Suter could become a Blackhawk, which would be that veteran defenseman that you definitely want on your team. So we'll see.
It's like, why are they bringing in these older guys? Like, stop spending money on that if that's not what you believe in. You know, just keep the Kane and Tays contract. Sorry, I'm like totally wiping my nose and talking. This is real freaking life, guys. No days off. So I think that's silly, you know, like stop spending money on people like that and getting locked into any more bad contracts. You know, if you're going to make it young and you're going to bring in all these European players, then just do that and stop freaking like messing around with all that other stuff. So
yeah,
thought on that.
And is your thought on that? And I have one final thought. I will touch on the Kings a little bit here.
Yeah.
The Kings, they have a new season ticket membership called the Die Hard season ticket membership. And I inquired about it. I've been talking back and forth with this rep a little bit. And, I'm not sure if it was, I'm sure because he told me just a regular civilian, whatever, I guess. But he has heard that the Kings are planning on signing a huge, big talent. So in the next upcoming weeks, who knows who the Kings could be getting. So we'll see what happens.
Huge big talent. Who do you think we have to look at the free agent list?
Gotta look at the free agent list.
Or unrestricted free agent. Well, it could be a restricted, but
yeah, it could. So apparently that's the talks on the street.
Who do you think it is?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, you got to think Landeskog doesn't have really a contract going on. He's bound and determined that he's going to put on the Avs jersey. Is he a good fit for the Kings? I don't think so. But I mean, there could be a lot going on. Could we be getting a Ryan Suter? I don't know. I don't think the Kings want to go that route. You already got Drew Doughty, who could be that veteran on that side of things. I really don't know. There's a lot that could be going on.
Just be on the lookout. Bolo.
Yeah. We'll see. So it could be on free agency day on July 28th. It could be a couple days after, a week after, who knows. But if there's big talent coming up, I don't know. I don't know if I should have even said that. But you know what? If they told me, then I could tell anybody, right?
Yes. That's public information if they're telling you that. If they didn't say off the record,
yeah,
you can repeat it. And that's the rule I follow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't say off the record. But interesting. Very exciting things coming up here in the next few weeks. And I'm super excited. It's sad to see teams being rebuilt and whatnot. Yeah. But I'm excited to see the expansion draft with Seattle to see who ends up there. And I'm excited to see what other teams pick up. It's a very exciting time, actually.
It is, actually. This is a really good postseason. It's a little bit better than most, you know. We've still got action. We still got things to talk about. We got players going everywhere. And then, I mean, pretty soon, we're literally going to be back in season.
Yeah.
And a regular full 82-game season, which is great.
And what I like most, sorry to cut you off. You have teams that are breaking up their core and getting them other places. So, like, you pretty much are going to have, I mean, could there be a Malkin that doesn't want to be in Pittsburgh anymore and come to the Kings? I mean, you can figure that there's so much that is on the line and that could be up for grabs. And teams that are struggling could be going and grabbing. And but the thing for me is Vegas. I feel like they have so much money and so much cap space. Like, you know, when you play like NHL, like 21, and you could select like the all-star team, I feel like Vegas just makes themselves have like an all-star team.
Yeah.
It's just my personal opinion. Maybe, I don't know, but I'm just like, how do you have all of these like top, like of the line, you got your forwards, your defensemen, you got the two great goalies, you got, I mean, how much talent can you possibly have? And how much cap space do you have to pay all of these guys? It's insane.
It's Vegas. Insane. They know what they're doing with the money and odds and all that kind of stuff. I don't question it. I don't question it.
Apparently, mafia, whatever.
I don't ask questions when I'm in Vegas. Don't ask questions.
Don't ask questions. Just make it happen.
That's all I got on the hockey stuff. My internet connection is unstable. How is that possible? I bought all the tools. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
You good?
It lies. I have to tell you about my very good, horrible, no good, very bad week that I had. That was not right. But there's a book called that of some sort in some capacity. I was out of town for work. Traveled in, had no issue, worked for a couple days. I did like a lot of interviews, but I'm used to doing a lot of interviews. My voice started going. I had like a scratchy throat. I had a sore throat, but everything else, like I felt fine. So I'm like Googling how to do vocal strain exercises because I think I have like strained my voice. I'm like in the hotel with my thumb and got like trying to sing, like do things. I don't know. It's not working. We get done early. So I catch a flight out early because I'm like, great. I don't have to stay another night. Get on the first flight, get to Charlotte. They canceled my flight at 10:30 PM after a full day of working. The earliest I could get back was Friday. So I had to stay in Charlotte for two nights at a hotel without a voucher because airlines claimed it's weather when there really is just a pilot shortage. It has nothing to do with weather. And I was stuck in Charlotte. So I go at hotels.com. I'm like, I don't know anybody in Charlotte. So I like pull up the hotel thing. I take a hotel to the middle of nowhere. The hotel, everything's closed inside still because of COVID. So they don't have a full restaurant. Nothing is open around. I can't walk anywhere to get anything. I go to bed. I wake up the next morning and this sickness is happening. So now I'm stranded in Charlotte at a hotel in the middle of nowhere by myself, sick. And I'm like, this is the worst. What the hell? I had messaged other friends of the podcast, Joe Cangelosi, who lives in Winston-Salem, because I thought that was close to Charlotte or where they live and play. And so when I was feeling fine the night before, I was like, hey, I'm stuck in Charlotte. Like, are you around? Like, what should I do? Like, let's get together. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to be so bored. And at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon the next day when I finally woke up, I was like, I'm dying. I cannot come. I'm sick.
Oh no.
So I almost had a really good story of seeing friends of the show, but that didn't happen. I know a lot of people are going through this. If you're traveling, here's my number one piece of advice. Fly early in the morning. The later you fly at night, the odds of your flight getting canceled go up exponentially. Don't believe the BS that you see on the flight tracker sites. Fly in the morning. If you're trying to get somewhere, fly in the morning. Get up, suck it up, and get out. But if you try to fly in the evening, you're going to risk being stuck in the middle of nowhere on a layover. What's happening in your world? Anything?
One thing, I am going to Nashville in a few weeks. Well, I guess it'd be the end of September. That's super exciting. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting because if you have not gone to the Grand Ole Opry, it actually is super fun. I know
Who's
Friday
performing?
Night. Well, this is the thing. The weekend that we're there is the grand old birthday bash. It is the 96th year. So the previous year, there was like Garth Brooks, Trisha Yearwood, Casey Musgraves, all these people like just show up for the grand old birthday bash, you know? So you could see a Carrie Underwood could show up. You could have a Reba show up. You could have a Morgan Wallen or a Luke Combs that could show up. A Miranda Lambert could show up. I mean, who knows who could show up? So I'm super, super, super excited. Hopefully we get to see some pretty cool people. I'm hoping that a Luke Combs will show up. Carrie would be awesome to see. Maybe we could see a Roman Yossi wandering the streets with this little baby.
Hey, we got friends. We got friends in Nashville that you're going to have to message and say, hey.
Yeah. Hit up Dustin, Colby. Let's do it.
Yeah, you got to. You got to check in with our boys, the friends of the pod. Stand by for news. Lots of hockey's to be happening. Hockey news, not playing, will be occurring in the next few days. So be on the lookout. Bolo. So my aunt said, what's Bolo? Be on the lookout. That's what that means. That's a Bolo.
I've never heard of that before, but you could make it a thing.
I think it's a news thing. It's a news thing.
It's a news thing.
They send out a Bolo alert. Be on the lookout, like for missing people or a homicide suspect, you know. Same thing. Like an elderly person, you know, Bolo, the Bolo alert.
It just kind of sounds like something that you have for dinner time in the South.
It does.
Bolo.
Bolo.
Are we gonna have that Bolo? You having that Bolo for dinner tonight? Sorry, are you having that Bolo for supper?
Exactly. You fixing to make that Bolo for supper?
Oh, no. Okay, on that note.
Thanks for coming over to our House of Hockey podcast and hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Just look for House of Hockey podcast. We'll be back next week.